Remember the words unto the servants. Upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction.
Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us on The Baptist Bias. We've got a special episode that we're going to be doing today, and we're going to be bringing on a special guest, Pastor Steven Anderson, today. But, of course, you know, it's been like a whole year since we've done the show, Ben. How have you been since the whole entire year of 2024?
Well, I'm still here in the flesh, so I'm happy about that. All kidding aside, God has really been great to me and my family. I feel blessed, and I'm excited to be here on this day one edition of The Baptist Bias.
Now, we're going to actually be having a couple different episodes January. We're not going to do a full season right now. We may do that later in the year. But we just wanted to do a couple episodes, and we wanted to get people excited for 2025. And somebody that's really, really excited for 2025 is Pastor Steven Anderson. He's preached whole sermons about how he's going to really have a great year this year. And so we're excited to bring you on the show, and let's talk about 2025. But welcome to the show, Pastor Anderson. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
How's your year started so far?
Wonderful.
Now, you preached a sermon recently about 2025. You know, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I just preached on Sunday a sermon called This Will Be Our Greatest Year. And I just firmly believe that our destiny is in our own hands because of the fact that obviously God wants to bless us. God wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. He wants people to get saved just as much as we want people to get saved, even more than we want people to get saved. And so my philosophy has always been that if we'll get on God's program and do what he tells us to do, you know, we can have revival at any time. We can have exciting works for God happening anytime. And, you know, I just decided that I want to have a great year this year. And so I'm going to have a great year this year. And Faithful Word Baptist Church is going to have a great year. Obviously, there have been a lot of negative things over the last several months. And, you know, there are really two ways that you can respond to that, right? You can just get discouraged and get down, get backslidden, use it as an excuse to just, you know, move backward in your Christian life, or you can just push forward. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doubling down on my Bible reading, doubling down on soul winning, you know, and I've got a lot of goals for myself this year personally, goals for our church. Our church right now has a great spirit. Everybody's super pumped, super excited. We've got just a great door open unto us and effectual. And so I'm ready to just rock this thing.
Yeah, one thing that I've always kind of thought about, especially in the context of soul winning, is just when you knock on someone's door and they open their door, they don't care at all about you and your personal problems. It doesn't matter if you're having a great day, the worst day, whatever. Like, it's just a moment to just open your Bible and preach the gospel to somebody. And I think sometimes maybe we get too fixated on our life circumstances and we're not really thinking about, you know, we just need to go out there and preach the gospel to people. And I think that soul winning is kind of a reset of the mind sometimes. You know, when I'm going out there, it's like, I'm going to put my life on hold for a moment and just try to give this person saved, because at the end of the day, the only thing I can take with me out of this world are the souls that are coming with me. And so, you know, that's really the most important thing. A lot of things can be acquired, and a lot of things can be taken. You know, Job had a situation in his life where he's basically, you know, kind of at a low point, but he's saying, hey, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But really, the only thing that truly matters is the works that we do for Christ, and the people that we can get saved seems to be the most important thing. And so focusing on that should just always be what we're doing. And so I'm excited about 2025, what soul winning advantages that we may have now, having more experience, having done missions trips. I'm kind of excited about this new idea you brought up about cruise missions that some of the people at your church have already started exploring. And so I think that now it's even more of an opportunity to go out and preach the gospel, not necessarily resting on our laurels of the past or our laurels of the past, but really what we can accomplish this year. I'm hoping to set a personal best and our church's best, as far as numbers that we do and the works that we do. And so I think that 2025 can be a really exciting year. What are your thoughts been for 2025?
Well, I think it's important to keep our eyes looking forward, because it can be easy to slip into this attitude that, well, the former days are better. You know, Ecclesiastes 7 talks about this. You know, say not thou, the former days were better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. And, you know, one way that I would apply that is, it could be easy to think, well, you know, the old days were better for us because that's when we were on YouTube. That's when the documentaries were getting millions of views. And, you know, Pastor Anderson had his channel with 150 plus thousand subs, whatever. But that's the wrong attitude. We can still reach people. We can still do great works for God. And I think the thought and the mentality that we should have is, you hadn't seen anything yet. And that's why I really liked that sermon title from Pastor Anderson about, hey, this will be our greatest year yet. If you set out for that to be the goal, why not actually achieve it? Why not keep moving forward? Why not do mightier works than we've ever done before? And I think that's a realistic goal, and one that certainly we can hit. So just got to keep moving forward. Forget about the past. It's done. What's done is done. Great. We had some nice accomplishments. Now let's achieve something even better moving forward.
Yeah, I'm interested. Obviously, we're going to try and do our best, but we need other people to come alongside of us. So is there any kind of events or things that you want to promote, or that you're hoping other people will kind of get excited about, Pastor Anderson?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we're going to have some great conferences this year, as always. There's the King James Conference up in the Portland, Oregon area, which is coming up in May. And so that's a big one. Then you got the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, which I believe is in August in the Dallas Fort Worth area.
And then we're going to have our mission 27th
through the 31st of August.
Yep.
And then we're going to have our missions conference in November. We had it in 2020, and then we didn't have it for a few years after all the COVID stuff, because frankly, COVID was just making it hard to travel to foreign countries. So right. During COVID, we were more focused on local soul winning, Indian reservations, small towns in Arizona. And then we really got back into foreign missions hardcore in 2024. And then 2025, we're going to push that even harder. And so November, we're going to have our big missions conference.
At Do you the have dates for that?
As always. Here, let me just make up a date right now.
You don't have to do that. I just didn't know.
So, no, yeah. I mean, I need a date for this thing anyway, because it's always
reiterate
at the beginning
that.
Of November. So, I decree that it shall be the 5th through the 9th of November. There we go. Boom. Done. 5th through the 9th. So let it be written. So let it be done.
Book it. That's it. Easy as
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so one of the things that I talked about in my sermon as well was what Ben was saying about just kind of not resting on past laurels. Cause obviously, yeah, we have had a lot of cool achievements, but I'm going into this year, as if I've never had an achievement in my life. I'm just pushing a reset button. I'm putting all achievements in the past, just starting from scratch, starting over. In fact, when I woke up this morning, this is what I wrote out. I said I was going to do this in my sermon, but I woke up and I wrote this sign about having zero people saved for 2025. Because, you know, it's like we're starting over, and I'm hoping to, you know, have more people saved myself personally through personal soul winning this year than any year in the past. And then my goals for the church are that we would get more people out on the mission field than we've ever had in the history of our church. More of our church members actually physically going to a mission field and going soul winning in a foreign country. And also that our church would go soul winning in more foreign countries this year than we ever have in history. And so this new cruise trip soul winning idea is the vehicle by which we plan to achieve that.
Yeah, I think I really want to talk about this cruise missions. And just to reiterate what you've already said, we put it in the chat, but Sure Foundation Baptist Church is going to have a King James Bible Conference May 16th through the 18th And that's in Vancouver, Washington. So if you're anywhere in that area, you should go and check it out. Pastor Anderson's going to be preaching there. I'm going to be preaching there. I know Pastor Bruce Mejia is going to be preaching out there. Pastor Aaron Thompson is going to be preaching out there. And I may be missing a few preachers, but there's going to be a lot of great preachers that are going to be out there. And so you want to make sure that you are able to visit Sure Foundation Baptist Church. We had a conference like this, and forgive me if I misremember the year. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, but it was maybe a couple years ago that we already had a King James Bible conference out there, and I really enjoyed it. And Pastor Thompson and his church, they decorated the church really nice, and there was a great crowd and some really good sermons. We had some Q&As, and so it was definitely a great time of fellowship. Really enjoyed it. I think this year is going to be even better. I'm really excited about this particular conference. And so if you are looking to a conference in May, you got to go out there. Also was brought up as Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. We're going to be having this at the end of August. We normally have it in October, but I actually moved it up just because we're going to go back to the Bahamas in October. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit. But so if you want to join us for the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, we're going to have a great lineup here as well. And I'm really excited to have that conference. We've been kind of having it every other year. And so last year we had our kids conference. This year we're having the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship again. And so looking forward to that event. And then also, I guess just on the Johnny on the spot, Pastor Anderson nailed it. November 5th through the 9th, we're going to have the Faithful Word Baptist Church Missions Conference. And boy, you're going to have a lot more options this year considering how many foreign missions you're planning on doing and all the different countries that you're wanting to go to. So that's really exciting. I want to talk about this cruise mission stuff. Now, you've already done this. You've already gone on a cruise missions trip, but you are planning to do a ton more. I'm very unfamiliar with this concept, so I'm just kind of curious, like, do you mind just kind of elaborating, like, what have you already done and kind of experienced as far as these cruise missions, and why do you like it so much?
Yeah, so Evan Rowe at our church is the one who came up with the idea. He'd been kind of taught it for months and showing us ideas about it and everything, but it really hit home when he actually successfully executed it, you know. So he and his wife and three other people from our church, they took one of these cruise mission trips. They just, you know, organized it themselves, paid their own way and everything. It was just something that they did. And they went on this cruise that hit like six different countries in like 7 or 8 days or something. And they ended up having like 89 people saved, and they were kind of treating it like a vacation. So that they were literally only soul winning for like three hours a day at these stops, but it was just so receptive in these places that, you know, and they had five people working, and over the course of the 8 days or whatever, they ended up having like 89 people saved. So I felt like it was just wildly successful, especially just for being as casual as it was, you know? And so,
was this like their reflexes kicked in, or were they actually planned to go soul winning for a few hours?
Oh, no. They planned it as a soul winning thing. It was made their own way. Cause like when we have church sponsored trips, you know, sometimes we push it a little harder. Cause obviously if the church is sponsoring people for flights or accommodations or anything, if we're helping people financially, then we strive for like 5 hours a day of being, you know, to make sure we're getting some good production in. And that still leaves plenty of time to have fun and relax. And right. Because let's face it, when you're in a receptive area, 5 hours of soul winning is grueling.
Yeah.
Because like 5 hours of soul winning, you're getting a lot of breaks just kind of, you know, of people not talking to you, people not into you. You're just kind of hanging out and talking and stuff. But like, you know, when you're just preaching the gospel in these really receptive areas, man, 5 hours is intense. But, you know, obviously if the church is sponsoring people, we want to get, you know, some production out of it. And so, they just went on a trip. What I'm saying is that even just with like 3 hours of hard soul winning a day on this trip, they had incredible results, you know, phenomenal results. And just to hit, you know, six field fields and so cool because it also, you know, they learned too, like, okay, this place is receptive. This place isn't that great. Here's the strategy over here. So it's like, it's recon as well because you're learning about these countries, cultures, who's receptive, who's not, etc. So I got super pumped about this. We had Brother Kevin do like a 15-minute talk on this at the missions conference just to kind of put this idea out there. And so in 2025, we want to really push this thing hard. Like, this is our main push for missions is we would like to see 100 people do one of these cruise missions trips. So far, we got a total of like 10 or 11 people that are signed from our church alone. But I mean, we're just barely getting started. I'm sure we're going to get way more than that. I'm hoping to have at least like 50 to 60 people from Faithful Word on the long run to do these things. But I wanted to do it myself because you really talk about something effectively if you haven't experienced it yourself. So I just kind of last minute, I already had Pastor Mejia lined up to come preach for me. So I just kind of last minute, he's already preaching on a Wednesday night, gives me a way to get out. And I was kind of constrained by not wanting to miss the Sunday. So I just looked like a short trip that caused me not to miss a Sunday, last minute. And I went to a place called Turks and Caicos for one day soul winning. And I ended up just having phenomenal results. So just in the one day of soul winning in Turks and Caicos, I was just with my 12-year-old son. And we had 23 people saved just in one day on Turks and Caicos. Because
you went to like a school or something, right?
Yeah, well, like the first hour or so, we were kind of struggling because people weren't really that receptive. And then we were running into a little bit of a language barrier. Even though it's an English-speaking country, there were people, you know, that only spoke Haitian Creole. And they weren't really very good in English because they were like Haitian immigrants and things like that. So then we ended up noticing a lot of school kids like walking down the street. And so we started just going and talking to them. We were driving like a little golf cart. So we were just kind of like driving down the street and then just stopping and talking to teenagers. And that started to be super effective. So then we started to kind of see where all the teenagers were gravitating from, which was the high school, because God just really worked it out that they just happened to be having exams that day. So everybody was getting out early. So you have all these teenagers getting out early. They had time. They're just kind of hanging out. And so we were just going to one teenager after another and just preaching to teenagers. And we got like 23 people saved over the course of several hours. Then we drove the golf cart to a community college, but the community college was not operating. It was shut down. There was one employee there, Haitian Creole. English wasn't good enough. That didn't work. And then I gave the gospel to a student, but she just wasn't receptive.
Yeah.
But then the next day went to the Dominican Republic, didn't have as good of a day soul winning there, language barrier, and just wasn't very receptive, a lot of distractions, just, you know, it just didn't go well, but we ended up getting somebody saved at least. But anyway, that kind of gave me a taste of it. And number one, I just loved the trip as far as just going on the cruise ship is super fun. It's just a lot of cool things about that. And then just soul winning in the Caribbean, you just can't beat it. It's just a great place to go soul winning. And so if I want to personally have a lot of salvations this year, I feel like one of the best ways is just to get out on the mission field as much as I can this year and just preach to receptive people. And the main thing that I love about this cruise ship missions idea is that it's so accessible to anyone. And it's very scalable. And what I mean by that is people who don't go to a new IFB church can easily get in on this because you really just need two people to do this effectively. Obviously doing stuff by yourself is too difficult. It doesn't really work. But if you just have two or more people, I mean, I feel like just any two random people in an old IFB church, in a new IFB church, in a disgruntled, you know, used to be new IFB church, whatever, you know, whoever could really just plan this on their own because it's such a no-brainer. Because usually when we do mission trips, there's all this planning and logistics and hotels and where are we going to eat? Where are we going to go soul winning? What's the transportation? the cruise ship kind of just thinks of everything.
Yeah.
And so you pretty much just pay for the cruise, go on the cruise, and then you're going to stop at these ports. And then when you get off in that country, go soul winning. So, I mean, what we're encouraging people to do is just plan this on their own.
Right.
And just email us the results.
What about transportation on land? What did you use to get around? I know you mentioned golf cart, but.
Yeah. So here's how that works. Basically what I did, and I would encourage anybody who's booking a cruise, let me give you just some kind of tips on booking the cruise. Okay. There's a website called cruiseplum.com, and that helps you like filter all the different cruises in the world by a bunch of different metrics. So cruiseplum is pretty helpful. And then what I do when I'm looking at cruiseplum and it's showing like where the cruise ship stops, then I go to Google Maps and I'll just type in the name of the port, you know? So like, for example, in Turks and Caicos, we went to a place called Grand Turk. So I just type in like Grand Turk cruise port or, you know, and then we went also to Amber Cove. So I'm just like Amber Cove cruise terminal or whatever. So then what happens is you can look at a satellite image. Okay. And the best ones are the ones literally just walk off the cruise ship and you're just in a city. So then transportation's totally unnecessary. So like, for example, we're going to be going to the Bahamas on several of these. And one that we're pushing with our church, and if anybody's listening and wants a cruise to get in on, there's one on a ship called Norwegian Jade. So Norwegian's the cruise line. The ship's called Jade. It's March 23rd through 28th, I believe. It's on our church website. But yeah, it's like March 23rd, Norwegian Jade, leaving out of Miami, I want to say, somewhere in Florida. It's on the church website. But Brother Segura is going to be on it. At least like 7 other people from our church are going to be on it. Hopefully a lot of – it'd be cool to just have, you know, 20, 30, 40 soul winners on this trip. It's going to make 4 stops in the Bahamas. So like one of those stops is Nassau. It's like, well, if you look at Google Maps – on the satellite view, you can see that you can just get right off the ship and you're just in Nassau, you know, and then it stops in a few other places like Freeport. It stops in, I don't remember the names off the top of my head, Bimini or whatever. And you walk off the ship and you're in town. Now, the places that I went, it wasn't like that. When you got off the ship, you're in just like this ultra tourist thing, which is not going to be conducive to soul winning. So if you're willing to hike a few miles, you could walk like 2 miles or something, but it would take you, you know, 40 minutes or something. But you could do that. Or sometimes you can get a taxi cab. You can, you know, rent a golf cart or whatever. Obviously, the cheapest option is to walk. And the best cruise ports are the ones where you're already in town and you can just go straight into the soul winning. And there are a lot like that.
Yeah, I've been to Nassau and you can see the huge ships just right there in the middle of the city. And those cruise ships are giant. So I honestly, I've never been on one, but I just remember seeing them and just thinking like, that looks like a skyscraper building on water. And what's kind of cool is that, you know, this is a point that you kind of made. I want to emphasize it for a second. You don't even have to like Pastor Anderson to participate in this event. You could be totally just like not liking us. You could hate the Baptist bias and you could still go and get a bunch of people saved. We don't have the monopoly on missions. And so that's great. Also, it's great that even if you don't hate us, but you just don't have the ability to necessarily be in our region or go to one of our churches, but you just want to go on a missions trip. Logistically, I mean, this is solving so many problems you don't even have to think about. You don't have to think about where you're going. You don't have to think about food. You don't have to think about, you know, a lot of the safety aspects, because typically when you're landing in these cities, it's going to be during the day. So you can kind of just get off and get back on. You're not having to be there at night, especially if you go with a partner. Now, obviously, there's going to always be safety concerns no matter what you do when traveling, but you know, at least it's a lot more safe of an environment than having to plan your own trip and going to places that you're unfamiliar with and try to stay overnight somewhere. And so, you know, the beauty of these cruise missions trips is really just how much of the planning, how much of the event cycle seems to be taken care of for you. Now, I've never done it, But I know, you know, Ben, you've been on these cruises. What is it like from just kind of an experience? Like, they're kind of taking care of everything, or?
Yeah, I wish I had a testimony that I could say I went on a cruise and did soul winning. Unfortunately, I did nothing productive on the cruises that I've been on. But no, I understand the concept from a vacation standpoint, which is that there's basically unlimited food and there's entertainment. There's a lot of things you could do on the ship. The ship itself has so many things. It is a lot of fun. I personally love it. And I get that there's some people, maybe they don't like ships or whatever. Maybe they get seasick. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But for me and for my family, we really had a great time on the cruise vacations that we've gone on. And I have to emphasize that the food is fantastic, especially the main dining hall, which is free with your ticket that you paid for. It's included. You don't have to pay anything extra. And it's all you can eat. I mean, if they give you an entree, at least on Royal Caribbean, if you get an entree and you say, I'm not full yet, you get another one, get a third one if you want, mix and match, do whatever. They're there to serve you. You're treated like royalty on these things. So it's really a lot of fun. And I couldn't even imagine going there with other new IFB brethren or just Christians, the fellowship and the fun that we would all have. So I really enjoy that.
Well, in all fairness, since you love McDonald's so much, I don't know if your food, you know, palate is as refined. Seems like everything might be an upgrade.
That's a perspective you could have, and I appreciate that.
Giving you a hard time.
Well, hey, McDonald's, I deserve it. I get it. One thing I want to say is that, I've never done the soul winning, but here's the thing I can say is don't have a laissez-faire attitude about getting back to the ship when you get off and think like, oh, I'll just go back a little late. It won't matter because the ship will leave, all right, and you'll get stuck.
So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a rigid schedule. They're running the ship for thousands and thousands of people, so you gotta be on their time. But
absolutely, they give you like 8 to 10 hours at each stop. It's anywhere from like 8, 9, 10 hours. Yeah. So there's tons of time for soul winning. Yeah, you do have to take it really seriously, like the what do they call it? Like anchors up or whatever time, or whatever the deadline
whatever it is.
Like you got to get there at that time for sure. But it's pretty easy to make it there because you could. And by the way, here's the thing: like all the food on the ship's totally free. So the strategy is you just eat a giant meal before you go ashore, mm-hmm. and then you don't need to buy meals when you're on shore necessarily. Because you just eat so much, like before you get off the ship, just gorge yourself, just kind of fill the hump. And then you know that when you get back, you're going to hit that buffet hard. And so you can go a little hungry, you know, throughout the day. That way you don't have to pay for any food on shore. Or if you're in one of the ones where the soul winning is right by the ship, there's nothing to stop you from just getting back on the ship for 45 minutes,
yeah.
having a meal, and then just going right back out soul winning again. Cause you can get on and off the ship super easily. Like it's not this big production to get off and on the ship. It's just, you know, you got your little ID card, just boom, getting on and off is like so smooth. Everything about these cruises is so streamlined. Like it's more efficient than anything I've ever seen. Like, because it's more efficient than like going to the airport and flying. It's more efficient than checking into a hotel. Like just everything they do is like a well-oiled machine. Because if you think about it, they're like a mixture of transportation and lodging and a restaurant and entertainment. It's like they do all of it better than those industries individually do. Like I was super impressed by just how smooth everything went. The company that I went with was Carnival, which everybody that I've talked to or everything I've read online basically said that Carnival is like the bottom level.
It's the McDonald's.
The Walmart.
And I'm just like, but if you would have told me that Carnival is the top company, I would have believed it because I was so impressed by it. And I'm thinking like, man, if this is the worst company, what the heck? Like, I can't even imagine what the good one's like. But
well,
also,
I want to ask, do they have specific dining times on Carnival? Because,
well, here's what it is. Like, you sign up for a certain dinner time.
Okay.
And that's where you sit down in this like five-star restaurant and have people just like waiting on you hand and foot. And it's totally free. But it's like you have a certain appointment each night for that dinner. But here's the thing. Like, we were new at this. I didn't really know how things worked. When I first got on the cruise ship, like, I just didn't know where anything was. I didn't know how to do anything because I've just never been on anything like this. So, like, I didn't really understand how the dinner worked for the first couple days, you know, because I was just focused on other things. And so I ended up, like, not even going because I just didn't know. So, because there's just always the buffet, the burger place, there's all this other stuff. Yeah, so you could eat whenever you want 24/7, all this great food. It's really just the special dinner that's at a set time. And here's the thing. The special dinner is like way better than the buffet. I mean, the buffet is good, but the special dinner is just like incredible.
Yes.
And so once I went to the dinner once, I'm like, well, I'm never missing this again because this is too good. It was like, and I picked like the latest time. Uh-huh. For dinner. So it didn't conflict with any, you know, going ashore to go soul running or anything like that.
Did you get paired up with randoms for dinner or were you by yourself?
No, it was just my son and me every time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Royal Caribbean's similar as far as what research I've done. I've seen someone say that the Norwegian Jade, actually, there's no such thing. You just literally eat whenever, like you just show up and they just seat you whenever you want. So it's kind of like a little bit more flexibility. I think they all have a lot of differences as far as like activities and some nuances, but generally they're pretty similar.
So some ships will have water slides. I think pretty much all of them will have like an arcade on board. It's great for families. This is a great option if you want to go soul winning with the family, but you don't want necessarily to just only fly to a country. You have an entire city on the ocean that the family can enjoy in between soul winning stops, buffet 24/7. And additionally, if you're up for it, you know, you could get paired up with a random group of people for dinner. And maybe that's an opportunity for soul winning if you want. Obviously, if it goes wrong, I know it could be awkward, but I'm just pointing that out. The employees tend to be from the Philippines, and people from the Philippines are very receptive, so there could be some soul winning opportunity on the ship, plenty of soul winning off the ship. It is a lot of fun, and that's what I want to emphasize. It really is a lot of fun in my opinion.
Well, and again, not all cruises though are necessarily going to stop in places that are going to have good soul winning opportunities, and that's something you kind of mentioned earlier, because some of these places are going to be stops like a artificial private island or kind of a touristy style area. But I was kind of blown away by how many cruises exist. Like there's like 10,000 plus cruises happening all the time as far as what you could pick from. And so, you know, really you just kind of have to try and do a little bit of research. Like you said, I've gone to that site. I don't know if you can pull it up on my screen or not, but that site you mentioned, that Cruise Plum, and it's not necessarily real fancy looking, but it has a ton of options. Like it's really sophisticated and it gives you a ton of filtering options. And it has all these different, cruises that you can really look through. And if you click on the little eye, it'll give you an idea of like all the different details. It'll even tell you specifically where it's going to stop. And then that's kind of where, what you brought up is beneficial, is you could look at that particular port or something and see, hey, is this one going to be a pretty good stop? I've looked at some, the St. Thomas, the St. Martin, those look like pretty good stops. Nassau's going to be a good stop. St. John's looks like a good stop. If you're Spanish speaking, there's a lot of opportunities there too. So as far as if you're going out of Galveston or some other areas, if you want to do more English speaking, it's probably going to be more like the Bahamas or some of this eastern part of the Caribbean, where it's like St. Thomas, St. John's.
The stop at Atlantis could be problematic, right? Because isn't that just a bunch of old, rich, white tourists?
And I'm not sure exactly where you're stopping. Because here's the thing. If you stop on the north side of Treasure Island, it would be, admittedly, probably about a 20 to 25-minute walk until you kind of get to the locals.
You want to talk to the locals.
But I've seen a lot of the cruise ships also on the south side, where if you're porting off on the south side, I mean, it may only be like a 10, 15 minute walk. There is going to be unlimited like Ubers and taxis and whatever. We also have some contacts, you know, in that area. So, for people that are going to be traveling with our groups or, you know, if you kind of let us know, there's other ways to kind of get around. But, you know, the island's pretty small. Nassau's not like really that big. I think in about, especially from a car perspective, if you're getting in a taxi or Uber or something like that, you could probably get anywhere in about 25, 30 minutes. And, and really you could get to good soul winning within about 15 minutes. But, I think really, you know, another opportunity is just talking to the locals that are working there too, if they're on break and stuff like that. Just because when I visited the Bahamas and been in some of these resort areas, some of the workers there are still very receptive and you can talk to them. But yeah, Treasure Island specifically in Atlantis is a very touristy designated area. So, soul winning there would not be receptive. So hopefully if you are going to these islands, one thing you should consider is trying to go where the locals live. Go where the locals live, consider school areas, university areas, because if you're in the tourist type spots of these islands, they're not receptive at all. Even the Bahamas specifically, we've been there multiple times. And if you're walking around where all the white people are, you know, it's probably not.
They were very mean to me. It's not, I don't know why.
Yeah, it's not going to necessarily be receptive. In fact, it might be very unreceptive. But if you go to where the locals live, that's where you can really.
What do you think, Pastor Anderson? Looks like you're about to talk.
Approach a lot of people.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that's just good advice anyway. Whenever you're vacationing, is just to get away from all the like drunk middle-aged white people. And just, you know, a more like authentic part of wherever you're going in general.
Right.
Because especially because like that's where everything's expensive anyway. Everything's expensive in the tourist areas.
It's true.
You
know,
you want to go to like the more local restaurants and low hotels and that's where you find the better deals, you get a more authentic experience, whatever. But I mean, just a couple tips, like if people go on Cruise Plum and they're kind of looking for a cruise, you know, one of the filters that I think is really effective is there's the total price where you can only see where the total price is under $2,000 because, and that's for two people because like, I don't think anybody really wants to spend more than $2,000 for two people. So, you know, you might as well just filter all that out and just right away total price cap it at $2,000. And then, I would say the average price for a good cruise that's going to have a bunch of good stops, we tend to be able to find a lot of them for about $500 or $600 a person. So, and if you think about it, let's say you pay $600 a person and then maybe $400 a person to fly to Florida, then you could do this for $1,000 out the door. And that's really out the door because everything is literally included on these cruises. Like there's no, it's not like everything's behind a paywall. Like, you know, everything you need is really included. You can easily go on the cruise without ever buying any food or drink or anything because it's all, everything you want is included. And so, you know, $400 for a flight to Florida, $600 for a cruise ticket, or maybe $500 for a flight, $500 for a cruise, $1,000 is way cheaper than any other mission trip, in my opinion, because by the time you factor in hotels and stuff. So I would just filter by total price. So that you just look for the good deals and then just check the ports, look at them on Google Earth and make sure that, you know, there's residential or something around.
And totally, then, totally a good point.
What's a good point?
He likes all of it.
That you could go on a trip for about $1,000 and that you're not going to really go any cheaper than that. And there's a lot of tips here. One thing I want to say is there is a lot of opportunities on this cruise ship to still spend money. So like they're going to have a lot of activities and kind of special things that you could do, like watching movie or doing some particular like water course or I've seen these things like you can literally do surfing on some of these cruise ships because they have this like artificial like water thing and you're like doing surfing. They have, so there's like some really cool stuff you can do and pay as extras, but there's also free activities. There's free events.
There's so much included.
And then,
like, you don't need to spend.
You don't have to. I'm just saying. And then there's restaurants that have like even fancier that you could pay for. So there is upgrades. There's cool activities. If you want to pay for those, you don't have to. When you are on these islands though, this is what's funny to me. When we were in Nassau specifically, if you're in the tourist area and you wanted water, We went and we got four Fiji waters, just the kind of like normal, just size Fiji water. They were $12 each, so it was $60 for four water bottles. And if you just went to like a local store that's like literally just a minute south of that, the water bottle's like a dollar or two each. So it was just like, sometimes you don't realize like how they just like gouge you in some of these touristy parts of the specific island. And even Fiji's the same way. I've been to Fiji, and you know, if you leave, as soon as you just kind of leave the tourist part of Fiji, you know, you're just in the local area. Like the soul winning was very receptive there. There's all kinds of different things that you can do. And so when you're visiting these islands, all these workers and these people in this tourist industry that live somewhere, and you know, going to where they live and going to the normal parts of the city, you're going to have great opportunities to still preach the gospel, and those people are going to be receptive. But these tourist parts of the island, you know, you may not really be that evangelistic. There might not be very many opportunities there. You kind of have to just get outside of that part of the area. But especially if you're in a city that's already filled with tourism, it's still going to be generally pretty safe, and people are going to still kind of like be friendly towards you and want to talk to you. And that's even sometimes an advantage, because if they see, you know, you're in the Bahamas, you're in one of these places, you're white, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb when you're not in a tourist area. And yet they're going to realize you're a tourist, and they're going to want to talk to you or be nice. And they, you know, you just take advantage. It's that white privilege that you have when you're out there. Take advantage of it and, you know, say, hey, I'm a missionary from America. We're here preaching the gospel. You know, for people that don't have a church, if you don't even have material, reach out to Faith Word Baptist Church, reach out to us, and we'll send you those movie tickets for the Preserved Bible. We'll send you cards or whatever. If you just want to have something to be able to hand out on your mission trip, just say, hey, I'm going to the Bahamas, or I'm going wherever, I'm going on this trip, I would like to have some material to be able to hand out. Send us your address and we'll just mail you material, and you can use that as an icebreaker. Because when you don't have an icebreaker, it can be awkward. So, you know, or if you have a local church, you can obviously take some of their information if they have it. But if you just like having the movie tickets or something like that, reach out. And that makes it a lot easier. That's what we're going to do, is we're going to take a bunch of the Preserved Bible movie tickets with us when we go on our missions trips. So I don't know what kind of material usually you use when you're out in a foreign country.
Yeah, so I typically just, you know, we'll do like the YouTube card or whatever.
You got to cover your face. We can't see it. There we go. Yeah.
So yeah, we just do like a little YouTube card or something. And I just walk up and say like, oh, hey, just want to give you this card from our church. Are you a Christian? Or I'll just say, hey, are you a Christian? Here's some Christian videos I'd like to show you or whatever. You know, so you just give them the card, and that's the icebreaker. And then from there, it's just, hey, do you go to church? You know, for sure, if you died, you'd go to heaven. It's just like normal soul winning at that point. So yeah, I just lead with the card. And then another thing that we did is, when we were talking to teenagers, is we would also give them stickers from our church too. So nice. I don't know if I have one of the stickers here, but like we would, these were popular among like kids and teenagers and stuff too. So we'd be like, hey, can I, you know, let me give you a sticker from my church and stuff. And then we'd give them the gospel.
We also have these in their sticker QR codes that we just put in our Bible. And then, you know, it's a great opportunity, because you can just say like, hey, if you want to watch this thing, you can just scan this real quick. And so, if you want those, you know, you could always ask our church, and we could send you some stickers that you just put in your Bible as a QR code, and then you can just have people scan that when you're out soul winning. And it's kind of a great opportunity, because you're right, people like stickers and people like QR codes, and they like these little things. And so handing them out are really pretty popular in these areas, and it kind of just helps as a nice icebreaker, getting people interested. So
yeah, and here's the thing. Anybody who want, I mean, how much does it really cost to even get business cards made? Don't you get like 1,000 business cards for like $10 or something online or something? I mean, they're kind of cheap, right? I mean, so honestly, people could even just make their own business cards if they wanted to, just with, you know, with a QR code to whatever they want. And they could design their own little cards to hand out with whatever information they want to give out. But it's easy, because they're not bulky. Like, a little stack of these business cards. I mean, if you think about it, like, it's taking up so little room in your luggage.
Right.
You know, you could have hundreds of these and take up like no space in your luggage. And it's just super easy. You just have a pocket full of those, you know, and just go soul winning.
So,
another thing that I would say as far as a tip for like looking for cruises is, you know, most of the ones that are going to hit the Caribbean leave from Florida, maybe other East Coast ports, but the lion's share of it's all coming out of Florida. So, I mean, man, people who live in Florida, this is super easy for them. They don't even have to fly anywhere. If you right. live in Orlando or Miami, man, you're, yeah. you could go on these cruises so easily. And by the way, sometimes, you know, last minute deals pop up because I actually booked a cruise that I'm going to be doing in January and it was $356 for two people for the whole week.
So wow.
basically like we literally paid and my teenage daughter is going to go with me and she, cause she's a talker out soul winning and she's had about eight people saved so far. So, she really wants to go to do like some receptive soul winning because Phoenix isn't really necessarily that receptive yeah. all the time. So she really wanted to, you know, go somewhere more receptive. And I booked this cruise for me and her and it was $356 for both of us after tax. And it's a 4-night cruise. So we're going to be on the ship for 5 days. And all you can eat food for 5 days, lodging for 4 nights, going to a couple ports in the Bahamas, and it's $356 for two people. I mean, that's wow. like $178 per person for a whole week. I mean, you're never going to beat that. And so little deals like that do pop up. But like I said, most people should expect to pay around $500 to $600 in general. Yeah. And then you can also
ask about tips though. You have to pay that too, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. You don't have to, you could just be a Jew and just like not tip anyone. Like that is an option. Personally, I like to give the tips and everything. I feel like it's a good way to help the poor because obviously these are poor working people. And so might as well be generous with them. So when I went on the Carnival cruise, you just like prepaid the tips for the whole week, if you wanted to, and then you just don't have to tip anyone. And that's what we did. We prepaid the tip. So it was like $180 or something.
So you like convert into a Jew because then you don't have to tip. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
But basically here's the thing. When I say $500 to $600, I'm including the prepaying of the tips.
Oh, okay.
Typically.
I want
like for example, on the Norwegian Jade trip that Brother Segura is going to be running, March 23rd, like just buying the cruise itself is like $525 a person after tax. So it's like $1,050 for two people after tax. But mm-hmm. if you prepay the gratuities, then it's $1,250 after tax, which comes out to $625 per person. So the $625 per person, you've already paid all your tips for the whole week. So you are really just $625 out the door. Okay. The $356 admittedly did not include tips, but it's okay. just such a ridiculously low amount of money.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
that's a steal.
You can just afford the tips after that. You know?
Right.
That was a steal. Yeah. So for my and Rebecca's cruise tickets and our flights to Florida and everything on that one ended up being less than $1,100 for both of us. I mean, but again, that's an anomaly. It's not normally going to be that cheap. But you know what? Every once in a while, those deals pop up, especially for somebody who lives in Orlando or Miami. They can just kind of watch for those deals if they have a flexible job or a flexible situation and jump on that kind of stuff. But it's really cool. I mean, it's the cheapest. I feel like it's the cheapest way to do a missions trip. And I feel like, I guess my biggest goal with this is to get some new blood involved because, you know, maybe people in the past haven't signed up for a missions trip, but when they hear about this, they're like, ooh, you know, a cruise, I could do that. You know, maybe they feel more comfortable with kind of the controlled environment,
yeah.
you know, the cruise provides as far as like safety, logistics, and just it's maybe cheaper and just.
Plus a lot of built-in fun.
Yeah. And like, you know, everything's included practically. I mean, yeah, there's some restaurant on the ship where you can spend $50 a meal or something. Who needs that? Like the food they're serving is good. Unless you're just some weird snob, like you don't really need the $50 meal. It's totally unnecessary. And then they're selling like massages for $150. And obviously they're selling a bunch of booze and stuff, but it's like, it's all crap that you don't need. You know, everything that you want is included. Like, I mean, water, juice, lemonade, unlimited food, soft serve ice cream, frozen yogurt, is all unlimited, cheeseburgers, pizza, steaks,
when
sandwiches.
These ships are so big. Do you feel like it's like, you know, what if someone's a little nervous about like being seasick or just kind of that experience? It seems like these being so big that it's pretty unlikely for most people, right?
I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that you don't feel the ship moving. Now, personally for me, like if I'd be a little disappointed if I didn't feel the ship moving. I mean, if I'm on a ship, I want to kind of feel like I'm on a ship.
I think it's a cool sensation, personally.
I think it's cool. You know, some people like Brother Kevin, you know, the one who came up with this idea, he said that the ship that he was on, he felt almost nothing. Like when he'd be sitting at dinner, he'd feel it a little bit, but he said that he felt almost nothing. It probably has to do with like the weather and how the sea is that day and stuff like that. When I was on the ship, you could definitely feel it. It wasn't annoying. It wasn't extreme, but you just kind of felt a slight instability as you're like walking through the dining hall. You just felt a slight movement. Mm. I spent like an hour and a half in the gym every day. And I'd be lifting weights in there. So you're definitely going to build those stabilizer muscles, you know, when you're when you're lifting on the boat. But basically, when I was laying in bed at night, I could definitely feel a gentle rocking, just kind of rock me to sleep, man.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And so you felt it a little bit. And like after I got home,
you
for
feel
the
it after.
First few days at home, I felt like my house was rocking mm-hmm. a little, you know,
you feel
but
it after.
It didn't bother me at all.
Well, Stephen was rocked to sleep in the Bible. And so, you know, there you get rocked to sleep here on the cruise mission trip.
That was different.
You can relate to him. You say like, hey, you were rocked to sleep. I was rocked to sleep, you know.
So if people are prone to seasickness, yeah, they might get seasick on something like this.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's definitely a lot less rocking than a small boat. I mean, obviously it's a giant ship. So it's a very subtle effect, in my opinion. That's not to say that you might not hit bad weather or something and the thing would really start rocking. But
this sounds like almost like flat earth is true because, you know, they said if the earth's moving, we would feel it. You know, he says he's feeling the ship. So, you know, I don't know.
Keep going.
I had the cheapest possible room on the cheapest possible cruise line. And it was awesome. Like, cause I had the worst, like some lady in the elevator kind of like flexed on me at one point. she saw me push the button for floor one, which is like the lower. She saw me push the button for floor one. And she's just like, whoa, the first floor. Oh man, you probably really feel the rocket. Good luck with that. What are you part of the crew or something? It's just like, but I'm like, okay, so I'm on the worst floor because there's like 11, it's like 11 stories of lodgings.
This is where you get the $350 cruises. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. So there was like, there were like 9, 10, 11 stories to this thing. But even on floor one, which is the bottom level, you're still like way above the waterline. Because it's like you said, the thing's like a skyscraper.
Yeah.
So like, even being on the first floor, you're still like above the water. We weren't in like a submarine, you know, we were like above the water. And then like apparently people claim that I guess you feel the most rocking there. I didn't notice any difference because when I was on the very top of the ship versus in my room, it felt identical to me. But I'm just thinking to myself, if this is the worst room, this is awesome because I expected it to be like a really tiny cramped room, like really minimal, just like a couple beds. And I just expected it to be super minimal, but it wasn't. It was just like a nice hotel room. Like we had two beds. We had a little bathroom. There were like closets to hang your clothes. There's like dressers and stuff. I mean, it wasn't huge, but it was like bigger than my room at home. You know? So it was like, it wasn't.
Well, when you live in prison, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's right.
Some people might. You guys brought up the sickness, which is a potential drawback for some if they have a propensity to feel seasick or whatever. Another thing some people might bring up, and you brought this up in your video, Pastor Anderson, they might say, well, cruising is wicked because there's a casino on the ship, they serve alcohol. But a good solution to that is don't go to the casino and don't order alcohol, and then you won't commit that sin. There's casinos in this city right here, right? DFW. I'm not, and there's casino.
There's not a casino here, but
there's casinos,
but
in
there
Texas.
Is alcohol every restaurant virtually.
I'm not so gonna like leave Texas because there's a casino. There's a casino on the earth. I'm not going to take a space shuttle and leave the earth because there's a casino on the earth. So you just avoid the activities that Christians should have no part in, but there's actually activities that everybody can enjoy that are family friendly. And that you can have a good time with. There was even a comedy show on the cruise that I went to that was 100% family friendly. All the jokes were totally clean and you could tell them in church and there's no problem. And
well, which
that
church?
Was fun.
No, I'm just kidding.
Our church. So I guess it doesn't count for everybody. But, you know, there's a lot of fun.
They're clean enough for Steadfast. Okay. Right.
Some people though, they might have this view like, well, you know, there's a casino. I don't want to go. And in my mind, just don't go to the casino and you're fine. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that if anybody had a mentality of like, well, the atmosphere on the cruise ship is too sinful, they're probably just not going to be able to do any mission trips anyway, because going to these Caribbean towns is going to be a worse atmosphere than the ship. I mean, obviously this world's a sinful place. If you go to the Caribbean, if you're just walking through these towns in Trinidad or the Bahamas or Guyana or whatever. I mean, obviously you're going to see the same exact stuff that you're going to see on the cruise. So, I mean, really just going soul winning exposes you to this world. And so I did not find it to be a sinful atmosphere whatsoever. It was a very family atmosphere. There were lots of kids on the ship and it was not a raunchy or seedy or sordid atmosphere whatsoever. You know, and not only that, I forgot to mention this in my video, because some people's concern, because we talked about like the alcohol and the casino and stuff, like, you know, you don't even have to set foot in the casino. You don't go there. You don't touch the alcohol. You stay away from any of the like little nightclub bar portions of the ship, and they segregate that stuff because they don't want kids going there anyway. So Those things are like, you'd have to make a point to go to those places. Okay. But one thing that I didn't bring up that some people could be concerned about is like, well, hey, is the ship just filled with bikini babes or something? You know what I mean? Because obviously there's like swimming pools on the ship and stuff like that. And it absolutely was not, because the first point I want to make is that about 80% of the people on the ship are obese. Okay. Let's just say it for what it is. Okay.
All you can eat buffet is not a bunch of thin people.
It's a floating all you can eat buffet. So like for fat people, this is their dream vacation. Okay. And so therefore, like literally 75 to 80% of the people are obese.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just America.
Not only that. Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's even more than the general population of America.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a lot of older people. It's a lot of obesity. And here's the thing about the pools. They're pretty much empty the whole time. Because I was kind of shocked because we're on a ship with thousands of people.
Yeah.
So I assumed that they would have like really big swimming pools or several swimming pools or something. And they just had like these two really small swimming pools. And I just thought, like, is this really going to be able to service like 3,000 people? But it turned out it could, because they were empty most of the time. Like most people on the cruise ship just frankly aren't swimming. Okay. And then they did have water slides. And yeah, they're, you know, kids and teenagers going down the water slides. But even those weren't really getting used as much as I would have expected them to have gotten used. So they had like on the whole ship, they had like four hot tubs, two pools and a couple water slides. And I was shocked by how little these things were used. I mean, it wasn't really a big part of, I guess, what people are doing on the cruise ship. And just if, even if you're walking around the pool area and walking around the deck area, like most people were fully dressed. And so, yeah, obviously some people are going to be in a bathing suit or whatever, but it wasn't like you're just surrounded by, you know, bikini babes or something. If that was not an issue.
You know? So to summarize, they're all fat anyway, so it's no big deal.
I mean, it sounds like it's safer than standing outside our church.
Go ahead.
That's not really what I meant. What I meant was just that, like, people that are obese aren't typically wearing super revealing clothing unless you're on, like, a university campus or something, you know? And then for some reason, 350-pound women are like, you know, in short shorts and stuff. But I'm just saying, like, you know, normally when people are super overweight, they're not getting naked. You know, they're wearing some clothes, and the point is that, like, you know, yeah, you're gonna see stuff like that. You're gonna, if you walk down the street anywhere, you're gonna see women that are dressed inappropriately, just at a shopping mall or, you know, walking down the street. I didn't feel like this was like an inordinate amount of just flesh on display whatsoever. I mean, there was a lot of flesh on that ship, don't get me wrong, if we were measuring it by the pound. But I'm just saying, as far as, like, the temptation level was pretty low. It wasn't like you're just vexing your soul just looking at a bunch of, you know, temptation everywhere, and that's just a sinful stuff. And as far as the entertainment, they had, like, you know, comedy shows that were labeled like 18 plus, or, you know, they obviously had stuff that was going to be inappropriate. Like, they had, like, theatrical plays and stuff. And one of them seemed like it was going to be, I don't know if it was, like, Halloween themed or something. It seemed like it was going to be something satanic or something. What?
I think I saw it advertised. They have Wicked as one of the musicals. And
I don't
Cats.
Think that's what it was. It was something else that I'd never heard of, but it seemed like kind of gothic and dark and whatever. But, like, I didn't even go to any of the, performances of any kind, as far as, like, I didn't do any of the theater, but some of them seemed like they were family friendly, like wholesome type things. I didn't go to any of them, but I did attend, like, some of these musical performances that they had, where they had, like, string quartets and stuff. They had, like, some really classy music that was just super cool. So, and it was kind of like, there were certain venues in the ship that would feature certain kinds of things. Like, there was this one venue that seemed like it was always having, like, a classy musical performance where they have, like, string quartets. So, and it's all these, like, people, just kind of, like, civilized people, like, sitting around listening to it and stuff. Whereas, like, obviously you have these other more, like, party-oriented parts of the ship or whatever. So it's just like anything else. I mean, you can easily go on this thing and walk with God, read your Bible, pray, have a wholesome time. And I did not feel like anything was leading me into sin whatsoever. You know, I felt, you know, just as close to God or closer to God. I wasn't, you know, because this could be a concern that some people could have, like, oh, you know, I don't want to get in this really sinful atmosphere. You know, I don't think it's a sinful atmosphere. If you're super duper sensitive to stuff like that, you're probably not even cut out for any missions trip, just because there's going to be worldly stuff when you go to these Caribbean places.
So I want to pull it up on the screen. If you go to faithfulwordbaptist.org and you go to their website, on the events tab, they've got one of their missions trips lined up. I saw some people in the chat saying they wanted to see the dates again because they really like the idea of going when other people are going. And so here's one that you can put on the calendar if you're interested. March 23rd to the 28th. Brother Chris Segura from Faith Ward is going to be help leading this. Also,
Norwegian Jade, just to make sure people get on the right cruise. It's the 23rd through the 28th. It's Norwegian Jade is the cruise. If you get on that ship on that day, it's four stops in the Bahamas. And Brother Segura is a great guy for those who don't know him. Super cool guy to hang out with, and there will be a lot of other cool people from our church on that trip, and so the fellowship's going to be awesome.
I also want to highlight there is one that our church is going to be doing with our evangelist, Tanner Furr, and it's actually Royal Caribbean, so it's a 7-day, they're going to be going to Nassau, St. Thomas, St. John's. It's 7 days. Right now, it's still about, it's $926 per person for this one. It's a little bit more expensive. I've seen Royal Caribbean's a pretty great, cruise line. So if you're interested, and if you are interested in either of those, just email our church, say, hey, I want to go on this. Can you give me whatever more information you may or may not need? And then also, there's probably going to be a few other ones in the future, but those are just ones that are kind of right here on the surface. I've seen for November, there's some other ones that looked pretty good and stuff too, but I'm kind of wait. We'll probably give an update after this particular trip and make a video about it and kind of talk about our experiences on these islands and just some recommendations that we had. I'm going to be going on one and kind of get my idea of what it's like as well. And so also I do want to announce a few other events though. We mentioned a couple of the conferences. This upcoming January 11th, I'm going to be in Houston, Texas, and we're having a soul winning marathon at Springcrest Baptist Church with Pastor Enrique Reyes. And so, he's been a friend of mine for a long time. And if you live anywhere in Texas or Louisiana or the surrounding area and you'd like to go soul winning with us, we're going to be meeting at Springcrest Baptist Church, January 11th, 9 a.m. We're going to be going out for a couple hours, have lunch there, and then go out again for another couple hours. We're even going to have a fellowship event. And so I'm really encouraging people to come out here and visit Springcrest Baptist Church. They have a really nice church building and it can accommodate a couple hundred people. And I'm going to be preaching there the following day. So if you'd like to just come out for the weekend, we would love to have you visit. This would be a great time to visit Pastor Reyes, his church, and do some extra soul winning and, just kind of visit their church that's there. Also, we're doing a missions trip to Mexico again this year, February 6th through the 8th. We're going to be going to Reynosa. This is right on the border of McAllen. So we usually stay in McAllen's side and then just go right into Reynosa. And very receptive. There's about 1 million people that live in the metro area of Reynosa. And there's some great places to eat. And honestly, the soul winning, as soon as you cross the border for some reason, it's just so much more receptive in Mexico. Now, you do have to speak Spanish, though, just because, you know, virtually no one there is going to speak English and not English well enough to really communicate. So, but if you can speak Spanish, these are great trips to go on. March 12th, we're having our evangelist in the Philippines. He's going to come back to the United States and he's going to be preaching for us. So he's going to be visiting for a couple weeks, I guess furlough, you know, as they refer this. And, he did a great, great work in the Philippines. He gave me a newsletter. I'm going to be reading it, for our church this evening, but, I want to see if I can pull up that number again. I think he had over 3,000, salvations for 2024, and he wasn't there for the entire year. He was only there for part of 2024. And okay, so he had 3,420 salvations, 16 baptisms. And he trained a couple other soul winners out there. That's just from part of the year. So if you supported Evangelist Urbanic or given money to him, thank you so much. And you can continue to support him by donating to Steadfast Baptist Church. We pay 100% of his salary and are kind of supporting his missions work that's going on in the Philippines. He's helping Pastor Matthew Stuckey with his church, which is Verity Baptist Church. It's the same name as Ascending Church that's in California with Pastor Menes, but he has the same name, but he has his own independent church in the Philippines and they run multiple satellites as well. But Evangelist Urbanic's helped their church some.
Yes, yeah, so I was doing a lot of soul winning. I was a little confused about that because Pastor Stuckey got ordained and is independent, right?
Yes, but he just has the same name.
I saw that it was called Verity, and I was like, huh? But so what it is, they just kept the name.
Yes.
But it's a separate church.
Yep. So he's his own
Warsaw church. So is Warsaw, Poland is under Pastor Stuckey or Pastor Jimenez? Yes.
Yeah, it's actually a church plant from Pastor Stuckey. So, the individual that was, sent out was going to his church in Manila in the Philippines. And then he ended up sending him out into Europe, into Poland. And so it's a church plant of Pastor Stuckey's. Additionally, he has like a few other church plant areas that meet maybe once a month that are kind of outside of Manila just because Manila is just so big. And then I, I can't keep up. So he may have a few other things. I know they got a newer building recently, but they're kind of, in the southeast portion of the Manila metro in a separate town. They're all little towns out there. And, Evangelist, Urbanic is kind of in the Tanay area where they're looking to maybe start another church plant idea out there. And then he's just been traveling to Verity and helping them with some of the preaching and just doing some soul winning there. But then he's been doing a lot of soul winning in his area and trying to train people. We've had some events out there. So we're excited to have him back and tell us about what's been going on over there. We have a lot of soul winning mission trips that are going to be in Texas. We have Mansfield right before Easter. We're going to be doing one in Oklahoma, Durant, Oklahoma, where we're going to be partnering up with Anchor Baptist Church. Shreveport, Louisiana, June 28th. You can't emphasize Shreveport enough because from a United States perspective, I think, and almost everybody agrees with me, Shreveport is one of the most receptive places you can go soul winning in the United States. It almost feels like you're going to one of these Caribbean islands. And it's just, I remember looking it up in the times past, it's one of the poorest cities in the United States. And it's honestly great soul winning. It's a great time. I think you've gone out there with us, right, Brother Ben?
Yeah. It's majority black. So that's receptive usually.
And I mean, it was pretty receptive for you when you were out there, right?
Very receptive. Absolutely. I can echo that sentiment.
We've always had really big, numbers as far as just how many people are getting saved. And, we usually have a large group go out there. There's a church out there in Louisiana that usually comes and joins us for that event. And so it's really a great event. Lancaster is actually right next to our church and it's 64% black. And so I'm really excited to go and just do like specifically here in Lancaster.
That's all I need to hear.
Receptive. Yeah. I mean, it's receptive, you know, Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. I already mentioned that Tyler, Texas, September 27th. And then here's the big one. We're going back to the Bahamas in 2025. And so many people have asked me about this. And I just, you know, there's going to be a lot of people going just, you know, on one day for these cruises. So I hope they get their appetite, you know, nice and hungry for this. But we're going to be there for the entire week. We have a contact there. Hopefully, you know, God willing, we're going to be able to get into lots of schools again. We're going to be emphasizing going to the college areas. And, you know, the Bahamas is about 250,000 population as far as Nassau specifically. So Nassau is the main island that we're going to be on, and it has about 250,000 locals, plus I think it's about 400,000 people that are typically on the island at a time due to all the tourism. But there's tons of people still that we can reach with the gospel. It's one of the most receptive areas I've ever been soul winning. The English there is great. The people there are really nice. And of course, you know, obviously you still have to do the work. But as far as going out soul winning, it's been one of the best experiences I've ever had. I've been there multiple times. We did a whole trip a couple years ago, 2 years ago. And I think we had about 60 soul winners. So it was one of the largest mission trips I think I've ever heard of as far as from the new IFB perspective. We had about 60 people out there and we had, close to like 700 or 800 salvations were one-on-one. Plus we had a lot of people in the schools that we believe also got saved through confirmation of like them writing down the answers, but we didn't count that part of that. Just the one-on-one that we confirmed is about 700-800 people. And I think that when we go back, we may even get close to 1,000 this time. If you are wanting to participate
about it that you did, the,
Soul Winning Made Easy yeah.
sermon. Yeah. We just re-uploaded that to our Rumble account because I went to look for it a couple of weeks ago because I was trying to get people all pumped up about the Bahamas and everything. And I couldn't find that sermon anywhere online except just audio. I couldn't find the video. So I had Brother Segura re-upload that to Rumble and everything because it was just like a missing sermon for a while.
I also put up a thousand
people listen to it. What's that?
I also put up a recap video. I think it's maybe 10 minutes long with highlights and music and things like that. If people,
it's on your Baptist, that, Ben the Baptist
it's
channel.
It's on Ben the Baptist YouTube channel. If you want to see a recap video of the last Bahamas trip that we did, which was a blast, lots of fun.
And you got a lot of video B-roll of like the schools and all the kids and everything like that.
Yeah, there's school footage. of us preaching in the courtyards and in the schools, and we went into the classrooms as well. First ever mission trip I did, and really like a life-changing trip. I had so much fun.
And I mean, the beach there, I'm not saying there isn't better beaches, but it's one of the best beaches I've ever seen.
Incredible.
It's really, we had one day where we did some sea-doos, and it was a lot of fun, some jet skis. And so, I mean, if you are planning, if you want to go, basically the way I'm going to be structuring this is, our church is going to provide some of the lodging. And if you are an adult talker, adult soul winner, then basically the first like 40 people, and this is just at a minimum, but at least the first 40 people that email us their flight itinerary, we will secure lodging for them. So we've already secured lodging. And so if you want to travel there with your family, we don't want to discourage you. It's just the church lodging is going to be limited to just those adult soul winners, because we want to maximize the amount of soul winning that we're going to have for this particular trip, since we're using some of the church money. So if you want to still go, we would love for you to come and join us. But as far as just church, some of the church lodging, we're going to limit that to basically the first 40 or 50 people that send us their itineraries, adult soul winners that want to go on this particular trip. And so that's just that's an extra opportunity. You can always go to the Bahamas whenever you want. Bahamas can be a little expensive, and generally speaking, that's why, you know, these cruise mission trips are such a great option, because like Pastor Anderson's saying, you could go for $700, $800, maybe $1,000. Whereas taking a whole trip to one of these islands for a week could cost you more, $1,500, $1,800.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend a dime. You could only eat the food off the cruise ship.
Right.
Like, whereas when we were in Turks and Caicos, my son and I, like when we were on Turks and Caicos, we did like hit a convenience store like several hours in. Like we didn't even need to though. Like we could have just pushed through, but we literally just bought 2 little bags of popcorn, 2 Snickers bars, 2 bottles of water, and 2 Gatorades. And the entire tab for both of us was $12.50. And that was literally the only money we spent on food on the whole cruise. $12.50. And it was a luxury. But I do want to kind of comment on the financial aspect, because, you know, there's going to be all these little whiners out there like, you're using the church's money to go on these trips or whatever, you know, a little personal adventure or whatever. And but I just want to say this, like the more people, I'm just going to come out and say it. The more people donate to Faith Forward Baptist Church, like any extra money we have is going to be spent like putting people on the mission field. So right. If we have extra money in 2025, that's where it's going. Like it just if people donate to our church, it's going to go to buying people's flights, buying their lodging, getting people on the mission field. Because frankly, if I were donating to a church, that's exactly where I would want my money to be going, to an actual real soul winning. Because for every couple hundred bucks that somebody donates to our church, that's translating into a bunch of souls saved on a foreign mission field, you know? And I'd rather see my money go toward that than just building giant ivory palaces and stained glass windows and all the other things that people can spend money on. Here's the thing. And the way that we're sponsoring people at our church is, you know, everybody's buying their own cruises. Like everybody buys the cruise themselves.
Yeah.
But we're like helping people with like the airline tickets to Florida or something. You know what I mean? Just to kind of help get them there or whatever. And the reason we're doing that is because frankly, if we can subsidize it a little bit, more people will go.
Right.
If we can help out financially, or instead of going once, they'll go twice. Instead of going twice, they'll go 3 times. And here's the thing. If we can get people out on the mission field, if I go out to the mission field, if you go out to the mission field, like we're going to get people saved.
Right.
We're not these lame missionaries from the old IFB that just fart around and get nothing done. Like we go there and preach the gospel and get a bunch of super clearly. We get a bunch of people saved. And so like, yeah, we're going to spend a lot of money on this. We've always spent a lot of money on every single year of our church's existence. We're spending money on Indian reservation trips, small town trips, missions trips. And it results in thousands of salvations. And so, amen. Like, maybe somebody at home is thinking like, oh, I don't want my money to go to, you know, these foreign mission trips. Well, then don't donate to Faithful Word, because if you donate to Faithful Word, it's going toward foreign missions.
Well,
it's not sending it to some guy that we know nothing about.
Right.
It's going to be our legit bona fide soul winners that we know and hang out with every week that we know are good at it. And we're all going to go there and we're going to get hundreds and even thousands of people saved. And so, you know, obviously the little do nothing whiners, and you're like, oh, you got on a cruise. Like they think it's like bad that it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Like that we're going to enjoy it. But here's the thing. If we could do two mission trips and they're both going to cost the same amount of money and they're both going to result in a similar number of salvations, and then one of them just happens to be super fun every night on the cruise ship or super fun to enjoy, like there's nothing wrong with enjoying it and having fun. In fact, if people enjoy it and have fun, they'll probably come back and do it again.
Right.
And again and again and again. And so, yeah, we're not trying to like whip ourselves and live in some kind of a cloister here. You know, like we want to have fun and enjoy. And if we can do serious work and enjoy at the same time, it's a win-win. Obviously, there'd be a problem if we were just taking these cruises or something, or just going to these mission fields and just laying on the beach or something. Or like not doing a real amount of work, but it's like, we're going to be pushing ourselves on these trips. We're going to be winning a lot of people to Christ. And so like, it's a great bang for the buck. And so the fact that the cruise ship is cheaper, you know, is a bonus. And the fact that it's also super fun is a bonus, you know, because hey, guess what? If you serve God, God will allow you to have a lot of fun. Like, God blesses us. Our cup runneth over. You know, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a good time.
Well, I was thinking about starting a new program. If people donate to Steadfast, we're thinking about sending a guy, Jose Martinez, to Israel for 7 years to learn the language. And we're hoping that after about 7 or 8 years, that Martinez will be able to reach some of the locals there. And so you should really consider. And if you donate, we'll send you an Israel flag in the mail that you can have. Now, I mean, it's kind of silly to criticize how our church does mission trips when you kind of figure out like how other people are spending their money and how a lot of these missionaries, I mean, it's just kind of sad. I've seen the newsletters. I get emailed the newsletters. I don't go to the old IFB. The old IFB emails me the newsletters all the time. I think it's because I'm in the DFW area. So like they're always coming here on furlough because there's so many churches here. But for some reason I get emailed.
I think everybody gets them.
I don't know. I get emailed so many and you just read them and they're just like, yeah, you know, we swept the floor this week. And you know, there's this one guy that I ran into at the store. Hopefully I'll run into him at the store again. And I'm thinking like people are literally sending hundreds of thousands of dollars to these people from these churches. Mm-hmm. And their newsletter is not like what I said with Evangelist Urbanic. I mean, Evangelist Urbanic said he got like 3,400 people saved just last year alone. And that wasn't even the full year. And I mean, that's a major, he did better than our entire church. Like he by himself beat our entire church for the year. So like that makes sense. And I guarantee that the works that are going to be accomplished on these cruise missions trips is going to be a staggering number, you know, and so I'm excited about it. And I don't think that, you know, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to get rewarded, Christ is like, you enjoyed this salvation a little too much. So, you know, no reward for you. Like, it doesn't really, you don't have to be like sad and upset when you give someone the gospel. Like you can still have a little bit of enjoyment. You know, you can have the joy of the Lord when you go out and preach the gospel. And so I am not against having fun while also going on these missions trips because, you know, admittedly sometimes traveling, being away, you could either get a little sick or you could be homesick or there could be some negative things. And we want to try to balance that out with some of the fun and joy and have a good time. So you're encouraged to do this for your life. We want you to be a lifetime evangelist, not a lifestyle evangelist, a lifetime evangelist, where you're always going out and preaching the gospel and you want to go on missions trips for the rest of your life and be like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul goes on multiple missions trips, multiple areas. His experience was different than the cruise. I get it. He's probably looking down from heaven like, they get to go on cruises? But, you know.
Yeah, you bring up a great point about how there's some negatives about going on these trips. Because, like, I know for me personally, a lot of missions trips I went on, I was kind of more doing it out of a sense of duty than enjoyment. Because, like, honestly, I kind of just couldn't wait to get home. And they were kind of some of them were a little bit of a drag. I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, obviously there are fun times and you're getting a lot of people saved, but some of them were a little bit brutal or just a little bit difficult. And we're staying in some really like rough conditions and stuff and just kind of, you know, enduring some hardships on these things. So if there's a way to do it, to make it a little more enjoyable, then I'm going to go more because frankly, you know, I had kind of gotten burned out on some of these missions trips just because it's like, I kind of want to be at home in my own bed and stuff, you know, and just doing soul winning in Arizona. But yeah, I mean, making it nicer is just going to help all of us be able to.
Yeah, no two trips are the same. I mean, you know, I went to a Jamaica missions trip a long time ago. This is when I was at Faith Award, maybe in 2018 or something like that. And it was definitely a lot more of an enduring missions trip than some of the other ones. But we got a ton of people saved, and I really liked it. But for some people, you could kind of tell, like, maybe they might not want to come back or do another missions trip because that experience wasn't as enjoyable. And it's not so much that you can't always predict these things. Sometimes it's going to be better than other times. Some islands are going to be better than other islands and stuff. But, like, I'm just being honest with you. The Bahamas missions trip was not only receptive, it was fun. And I believe that with these cruise missions trips, for some people that even want to make it even a little bit more fun or a little bit more just, you know, just comfortable, it's probably going to be your best bet. It's probably going to be the easiest type of missions that you can do. And yet you still have great opportunity. And what's cool is especially the Caribbean areas, these are very receptive areas. So, you know, you're going to have a great opportunity to get people saved. And if you live, you know, not everybody's blessed to live in Texas. We live in Texas where the soul winning is very receptive. But I know I've visited other parts of the country, places like Washington or places in the north and some other areas that, or Canada, you know, it's just maybe not as receptive, or Australia or some of these other areas where maybe it's just not as receptive. But you go to Fiji, you know, there's cruise mission trips out there in that part of the world too. Fiji is very receptive. You go to the Caribbean, very receptive. Take opportunity here, say, hey, I just want to save up $1,000, go on a missions trip, and you might end up getting more people saved in 1 week than you would the whole year in your area just because of the receptivity factor. So, you know, I think this is a great opportunity. I'm really looking forward to 2025. We're going to go really hard on missions trips and we're the same way. You know, if Steadfast was blessed with more money, you know, we'd like to spend it on more missions or more events and more trips and send more people out there. So we are already blessed. We have tons of money coming in and we're going to try and use that to its fullest. But I'm very excited for 2025.
Another comment on the financial aspect is like, if you take the original cruise ship that Brother Kevin and co went on, you know, they paid for it all themselves. It was just it was just something that they organized. It wasn't even through our church. It was just five people. And that's why I'm saying people could do this in any church. It, you know, they happened to go to Faithful Word, but they could have really been anybody anywhere. And they put this thing together. They spent out the door for the whole trip for all five of them, $5,000. You know, that's about what they spent for everything. Okay. And they had 89 saved. Which that comes out to roughly like $55 a salvation, you know, and I'm just thinking about, you know, coming up in the old IFB and being a young adult and donating to missions, you know, when I was younger, and I would have loved to, you know, drop $550 in the plate and think like, okay, this is, you know, translating to like making 10 salvations possible in a foreign country.
Right.
like I mean, imagine that. Like every 55 bucks I'm throwing in the plate is like another salvation. Like to me, that would have been incredible because I was supporting, you know, a lot of guys that are like that, you know, Israel guy that you were talking about, you know, and obviously there were good missionaries we were supporting as well, but there were probably a lot of that money was kind of going down the drain. If you think about it.
Right.
Compared
I wasn't even thinking about it that way, but if I think about like the money we spend on Evangelist Urbanic and his salvations, it's like $13 salvation or something like that.
Yeah.
So like that guy is just like killing it, you know, as far as like a monetary ratio. But I'm actually planning on doing that this year. Is like, we're going to really think about like, we're have all these soul winning mission trips, all these foreign things. I'm going to like calculate like kind of roughly like what was the cost per salvation just to get a kind of idea of like what's the most economical stuff and really consider that because I think that that's kind of an interesting thing. And, you know, why not? Why not try to put your money in the best places possible, the best investments possible? Because to me, the soul is a soul.
And of course, the cheapest of all is just going soul winning where you live. That costs like $0.
Exactly.
You just go do it. But Amen. Obviously want to do stuff all over the world as well. And it's not as receptive. Like I went soul winning today earlier and spent like an hour. And, you know, got no one saved. But, so I'm still, this is where I'm still at right now.
All right.
But I'm going to.
You're like a lot of people.
But I did. Because I went like half mile from my house or something. I went like just sure. right down the street from my house. And I did get to give the gospel all the way through to a guy. And he said, at the end of it, he said, I'm 50 years old. And so it's, you know, I've kind of been taught this my whole life. Like, but he was kind of acknowledging that what I was saying seemed right and biblical, but he'd been raised Pentecostal.
Sure.
And so he had a Pentecostal view of losing your salvation and that, you know, but then once he saw what I was showing him, you could tell, like, I thought the guy was going to get saved because he was so impacted by it. He was just seeing it. It was like clicking with him. He's like, oh, wow. Yeah. But then he's like, well, I'm 50 years old though, and I've kind of been taught this my whole life. I said, oh, so are you like too old to change on this doctrine? He's like, no, I'm not too old to change. He's like, I just don't know if I'm going to do it right here on the spot.
Sure.
He said, I just need to like think about it because I've been taught this for so long. So hopefully the guy will get saved. But you know, you spend an hour in some of these Caribbean places and it's like, yeah, you're going to get a couple salvations especially if you're talking to young people, you know, it's like your sermon and we re-uploaded your sermon. It got like another 2,700 views between the two places. We uploaded it on Rumble.
There we go.
You know,
nice
the rerun.
Well, so. Hopefully we inspired somebody to do some more missions this year. That was the point of the show. We're going to have a couple other episodes. We're going to have one next Tuesday night. Special guest is going to be coming on. And then the following Monday, we're going to have another special guest. And so we're going to have a couple Baptist Bias episodes for the year. Thanks so much for coming on, Pastor Anderson. Was there anything else you wanted to ask him, Brother Ben, before we kind of sign off here?
What do you guys think about the possibility, and we could do this quick because I know we're winding down, but what if we got a couple of pastors on a cruise ship, 2, 3, maybe 4, and you coupled a mission trip with if it's possible to rent out a conference room. Maybe you do like a conference on the seas someday or something like that.
So it's a celebrity cruise.
Not just kidding. Yeah. I think that'd be kind of fun.
I think it's a really cool idea. It would be a great idea to do like a conference that's like a conference that's moving, you know, that's like it could be really cool.
Just
and
a
it
thought.
Combines like soul winning by day, preaching by night, or something.
Cruise ship.
I don't know if
church plant.
Yeah, we're just gonna plant a church on the cruise ship, and people just
do you think they'll
live on the cruise ship?
They'll let us have the venue. Leave.
Yeah, what were you gonna say? You don't think you were gonna say something? You don't think the cruise ship would what?
Well, I just don't think that there's an opportunity to rent out.
Yeah.
Like a. a preaching hall on the ship, like, cause they, you know, they have like their different entertainers in different rooms. I'm not sure if there's an opportunity, but there could be, maybe there's a way to, cause I'm sure that there are like corporate events that they probably do on these. So there probably is a way to do it, Ben. I mean, I'm just not sure.
They'll just sign us up. We can have the new IAB can be an event and we're just always preach. Like we just have a preaching event on these crews. Like maybe we can partner with Carnival or something. And you know,
we're just going to be one of the entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. New IAB preaching while you're cruising.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that happening, but
church plant. I mean,
no, but I think Ben's idea could seriously work because I'm sure that just like you go to a hotel, you rent a little conference room.
That's what I was thinking.
Probably are corporate events where they rent out a room on the ship and we could probably, you know, theoretically set something like that up. But either way, I mean, even without that, just if you just went on a cruise with like 20 or 30 other new IFB people, if you're just soul winning all day, there's going to be so much preaching at that dinner table anyway. Just, you know what I mean? Realistically.
I usually don't have a voice anyways.
I preach to my family every day. Like everybody just preaches to each other in this movement. I mean, that's just kind of who we are. So
maybe
Pastor Shelley and I are going on a cruise. We're just going to preach at each other the whole time.
Oh man.
So.
Face rippers, I'm sure.
He said when he's wanting a sermon idea, I give him like 50 and he likes like one of them. So I'll just give him like
at least he liked one.
Yeah.
Be happy about the one that he liked.
It is probably not even my idea. It's just like it triggered a different idea that he ended up being able to use. So
yeah, but admittedly you were giving me all your leftover crap that you didn't want to preach because it was all your like reject because we give each other our reject because we come up with these long lists of preaching ideas and we preach all the good ones. And there's just all the junk that's left. And then at the end of the year, I'm like, oh, here, Pastor Shelley, here's all my junk. And he's like, oh, here's my junk. And then like, yeah, so I find two out of 50 that are usable, but you didn't think they were usable either. That's why you gave them to me.
Exactly. This is where we get our marching orders. We give each other our trash. Mm. So I don't want to preach this. You preach it. You know, like, here you go. No, I'm just kidding.
I dare you to preach this.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's funny. Yeah, unfortunately for the haters, I've never been told what to preach by Pastor Anderson. So, but you know,
sure.
there's always time for to do so in the future.
Hey, the closest thing to me ever telling him what to preach was that when he was a member at Faithful Word and preaching in one of our ministries, I had to like put a cap on the length of his sermons because it was getting out of control.
What? I don't believe that. Pastor Shelley?
No, that was definitely true.
That cannot be true.
He's like, you can only preach for an hour. And I was just like, okay. There was like one time I had to abruptly end the sermon. I'll admit. I was just kind of preaching and I'm thinking like, I need to just finish. So just like land the plane. But it is what it is. I preach too long, but, you know.
Where else do we have to be on a Sunday morning anyway? All right. Just go for it, I guess.
Yeah. That should prove that I'm not under his authority anymore. Just look at how long my sermons are.
Because if he was under my authority, he'd still be under that 60-minute cap.
The 60-minute cap.
Right? We know he's not doing that. He's got a double portion.
Oh man. I like how at Red Hot that one year I get done and I'm preaching before Pastor Anderson. I have to give him the mic. So I'm like handing him the mic and he's just like, I enjoyed both of your sermons. I was like, what do you mean?
And then, like, and then you preached for like an hour and a half. And then the next year, Pastor Jimenez gets up and says, hey, that was a really good series that was preached by Pastor Shelley tonight.
Oh man. I guess I got my money's worth. So. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. I really looking forward to 2025 and hearing more about the missions trips. And, hopefully that zero turns into a one pretty soon. And, we're going to be doing some soul winning tonight, our church. So hopefully we can get started on our counter as well. But, that's pretty much going to do it for us. Again, tune in next Tuesday. I want to make sure to get that exact date. I think it's January 7th.
7th, yes, you got it right.
January 7th, and then January 13th. So we're going to have a couple special episodes, Baptist Bias. You want to tune in live. We may take in call-ins. We always, of course, appreciate the chat. We had several people in the chat, Springcrest1611. Thanks so much for tuning in.
I have one last thing I want to say.
We'll let you say it, but I want to shout out to some of our chat real quick.
Go for it.
So shout out to Pastor Reyes for tuning in. We've got Brother Jay Stu. We've got Rosemary Heim in the chat. Thanks so much. She said, I think the cruise is such a good idea, of course, for the salvation opportunities and for the brethren that soul one constantly to go super receptive venues. It's so uplifting. We also have Jaden M. Happy New Year. God bless. We've got Adela Lyle. She says, the Backbiters would go nuts.
I think it's Adele, like the singer.
Adela? Or is Adele, I don't know. Is it, okay, New IFB, we've got in the chat. King James, we've got WRLATX. He says, Israel First Missions is a real thing. It's crazy. That is kind of crazy. We've got Miss King in the chat. So we got lots of people in the chat. Thanks so much for tuning in live. I know it's a special show just out of nowhere, but appreciate our audience for tuning in. We had over 120 people in the stream, and I expect our evening shows will probably have even more. It says, no, it's Adela. Yeah, there we go. Okay, thank you. Thanks for the correction. What did you want to say before we sign off?
I've been sitting on this for a while. I thought it was a good show. Even though, Pastor Shelley, I did think that your flat earth joke fell flat, but it's okay.
Well, they can even see the 24-hour sun in Antarctica. They got a free trip to Antarctica to watch the 24-hour sun, and they still think it's flat, folks. So, you know, nothing's going to convince those individuals.
Amen.
I always said, I said, if you took them out in a spacecraft and they saw the Earth, they would say it was like the window was CGI or something. Or
can flat earthers go on any of these cruise mission trips?
Yeah. You okay, could great. Be a flat earther and you could go on the ship and you could still get people saved. So,
but you may get rebuked.
What's crazy is a flat earther is still smarter than an atheist. You know, it's funny, the atheists make fun of the flat earthers, but there's some flat earthers that are saved and they're going to go to heaven. They'll be disappointed as they like ascend up into heaven and they're like, oh wow, I was wrong this whole time. But you know, you can still be saved, and we love the brethren even if they're kind of dumb. And so
comfort the feeble-minded.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm not really one of these people that's soft on the flat earth, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you know that.
That's shocking information.
Thanks so much to our crew. Thanks everybody tune in. I think we might do a t-shirt giveaway. If you're live next episode, January 7th, we've got a special guest. We're going to be talking about some new topics in politics, what's going on in America, what's happening in 2025. It's going to be spicy. I'm very excited. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for coming on the show, because look, everybody's got a perspective, but you need to get the Baptist Bias.